morning, it's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes from the April 2nd meeting were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No. I make a motion we pass them and accept the minutes as public.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. There is one modification to the published agenda. We are not going to hear from the Johnson County Tourism Association with their update they've asked set for next meeting. So we have moved the Emergency Management Coordinator into that slot. So, Madam Clerk, I will open a budget hearing and allow you to introduce Resolution 720.
Yes, this resolution is to add to the budget funds from a grant for the airport, the Milwaukee Transportation Department Aeronautics Division. The grant's in the amount of $133,000, and it's a 90-10 grant, and we have funds budgeted for our part of the match. So I propose that we approve resolution number 720, adding a total of $133,000 to the budget.
Resolution 720, transfer funds for the 2023-24 budget. Now therefore be it resolved that in accordance with 16-4-112 and 16-4-113 of Wyoming compiled statute of 1977, the following necessary funds are transferred for the 2023-2024 budget from the Wyoming Department of Transportation Aeronautics Division, amount of $133,000 to Fund 83, the Johnson County Airport Seal Code Grant in the amount of $133,000. Total changes to the county budget of $133,000.
Make a motion we approve Resolution 720.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We would open now public comment during this budget hearing on Resolution 720 to amend the budget. Is there any public comment on the amendment to the budget? Hearing no public comment, I will go ahead and close public comment on that. Commissioners, any discussion? Commissioner Perry, do you want to briefly go over what the seal coat project is?
We just completed a crack seal program at the airport. Now we're going to come in and take out 2 inches of the surface of the apron in front of the FBO and put down 2 inches of asphalt and rehab that to work not all full of cracks and broken up. It's a 96% funded by the federal government, the Wyoming Aeronautics Commission, and we are obligated to pay for 4% of them.
All right. Commissioners, any further discussion on Resolution 720? Nope. Hearing none, all those in favor of Resolution 720, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, do you have any additional business that needs to be transacted in the budget hearing?
No, sir.
All right, then we will go ahead and close the budget hearing. And we are back in regular business. Next agenda item is the Y2 contract for the county's comprehensive land use plan. So, Mr. Krego, I'm going to turn things over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Waller may have a few things to pipe in about, but essentially all the changes we asked for regarding ownership of the documents and then all the alternative dispute resolution processes they agreed to. And so those are in the latest version of the contract. I think it's good to go ahead and sign at this point, Mr. Chairman. If the board has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions for Mr. Waller? questions for Mr. Crago?
No questions for Mr. Crago. I do have a comment on the YT consultant contract. It was brought to my attention by the article in the Buffalo Bulletin last week that we were entering into a zoning process by accepting as Y2 consultant. I think that it needs to be known that this has nothing to do with zoning. It has to do with identifying what the resources in our county are, and that we either do it or the federal government will step in and do it for us. So with that being said, I don't have any other comments.
Very well said, Commissioner Perry. As state law, it's very clear. Every county has to have a comprehensive land use plan. That is the law. And the law is also very clear that the comprehensive land use plan cannot be used for zoning. So, but with that, Mr. Crager, your recommendation is to go ahead and sign this today.
Yes, from a legal perspective, it's good to go now. They've made all the changes we asked.
It makes a motion we accept the Y2 consultant contract for the land use planning contract.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Jody, we're trying to fill here. Do we anticipate, is Nova calling in or is Ryan coming?
I emailed Ryan this morning and I said, I did say you could move from 9:05 to 9:10. I'm surprised they got it this close. So I do think they're still coming.
Okay, so that'll be an update on where we are in terms of health insurance. Let's just go ahead and continue to move through the agenda until someone from Nova Benefits arrives. So. Commissioners, next on the agenda is 1%. So if you go to your packets, the first is historical collection of the optional 1% tax provided to us by the Treasury. Recall that we still have May and June to come in. If you flip then to the next page, we have some projects that have been completed that have small balances remaining, and in visiting with Becky in the clerk's office on the best way to handle projects, the sooner that we can close those out and help her clean up, they are. And hope Nova has joined us, so let's just go ahead and we'll set 1% aside and give the floor to Ryan with our benefit manager to update us on where we are. So Ryan, come on up.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Catch your breath.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Let me just hand out a little bit of material here, and then we'll go ahead and dive in. Diana is quite ill, and selfishly, I asked her to stay home. So I was under the weather a few weeks ago and didn't want that to spread around. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Bear with me as I pull up all the information here. And I apologize in advance. It feels like our printer is printing smaller than ever, but I will walk through these numbers specifically by the column and share with you exactly what we're looking at here. The purpose of today is not to run through a full review of the plan. What I would like to do is highlight the plan performance year to date with just a few statistics, and then from there we can go into where we are at in the renewal process. We feel like we have some solid numbers to work with. That was our goal, was getting everything fine-tuned so that we could present some numbers pertaining to this upcoming year in this meeting. And we were able to do that, actually wrapping things up late Friday, actually. We were able to wrap things up. But overall, from a plan performance perspective, just running through how you guys have been performing year to date, you're pretty close to where they would anticipate claims to run. Overall, from an aggregate perspective, when they set the rates, they anticipate, just kind of a recap, they anticipate that you'll run at about 75% of where they set the attachment point, or where they set that maximum risk cap for your program, for your plan. And true to form, if we look at the data through February that I have here, you're running at 77.62%, about as close as you can get to where they would expect that you would run. So that's positive. We view that positively. I mean, always better if we could say, hey, it's running in the 60s or, you know, 50s, but it's pretty rare to have a program run, you know, that far below the attachment point. So I would say, well done. We're not in the 80s and we're not in the 90s, which you've had a few years that have had that higher experience and utilization, as you remember in years past. So so that is viewed favorably. The other thing I would tell you is we have a few individuals who have exceeded the specific cap that you have in place. Your specific deductible on each employee is $35,000. So anything above $35,000 is going to be covered and paid for by the reinsurance markets. Anything below that is going to be covered by the county. And we do have just a handful of individuals. We have four individuals who've exceeded the spec level so far this year. And that data is through the end of January. And it looks like it's to the tune of 60, 70, 80, about $84,000 total in revenue that will be getting paid back to the county from a spec level perspective. So overall, you have 12 individuals who are listed on the spec chart. That also runs pretty closely to what we would expect. You've had heavier years and lighter years. So I guess if I were to, for the sake of today, just summarize where we're at on things, you're about where we would expect, both on the aggregate and the specific side of things. Now, something that we have noticed is medical trend does continue to tick upward. Also, the reinsurance markets continue to press those rates a little bit. There are a lot of the markets that quote on stop loss are also involved in property and casualty insurance and other types of insurances that have taken a hit in recent years. Obviously, there's a factor involving inflation, but also some of the fires and other, you know, hailstorms and all those types of things that that fall into that and are factored. Something that would impact you more if you were fully insured, from a negative perspective. I would say that it's very positive. One of the other positive reasons why you're self-funded is that we're able to rely more based on your experience and what you guys are going through versus what the market in general is going through. But that is a push that that we try to counter and push back on. We've seen some fully insured renewals, not on our groups, but in groups that you know, we will provide consulting services with in other markets, not in the state of Wyoming, but in other markets, that some renewals that are pushing the thresholds of 70% plus. So that's a big deal and something that we continually try to push against. With that being said, what we would recommend for this year is we would recommend that you stay with your incumbent market, with your incumbent stop-loss carrier. If you were to leave everything alone and not go with any plan changes whatsoever, if you were to keep your specific level the same, the contract types the same, overall, your increase right now is targeted at 2.4%, which is fantastic. The national average right now is right around 7.5 to 8%, from the self-funded perspective. So that's what we normally would have expected, is something closer to that 7% range, just based on how you're performing since you're at about average. And initially, I would say, I don't know if you can see that number, apologies, but if you look at that first column where it says at the top, it says firm initial renewal at the top. If you look down to the very bottom there, just below D, row D, it says total percentage change. They initially came in right at expected, right at that 7.9%. But we did push them down and continue to negotiate that. We worked some other markets off of them and got that down to a 2.4% increase. Now, one other thing just to touch on briefly, and we can talk more about this subsequently. This decision does not need to be made today. But one thing we would like to look at, just based on how we are seen, generally speaking, in the market, claims being processed from a timeliness perspective and claims being incurred that are coming in at the last minute, some of the things that the markets are doing. Once again, I'll try not to dive too deep into the rabbit hole here, but some stop loss carrier markets are coming in right now and they're saying, hey, you know, based on X, Y, or Z condition, we are going to put an exclusion on this individual or put a much higher laser amount, much higher cap on this individual based on what we're seeing. And that's with a contract type that you guys have set up right now on 2412s. So something that I would like for us to discuss as we roll forward is potentially making a move to a more of a mixed contract, which allows a run out. It's a 12-18 contract instead of the 24-12 contract. And all that does is it allows that, it allows a 6-month run out period. So let's just say that somebody were to come in June or even in May and have a really, really high, what we would term a catastrophic claim. It would preclude the stop loss carrier from saying, oh, that's something that we're aware of and it's coming down the pike and we don't know exactly what it's going to be. So we're going to set a really, really high, laser amount on that. That hasn't happened to you guys, but we want to ensure that that doesn't happen. We feel like the run out contract would provide some better protection for you on that. Because then if that were the case, the incumbent market would take care of that, and we could have a greater selection and greater opportunities. We continue to shop things moving forward. So once again, something we can discuss in a subsequent meeting. In a nutshell today, we just wanted to get in front of you and say, hey, we have rates, they are firm. If we can get the go ahead from the commissioners today to roll forward with the incumbent companion PACE and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Wyoming, and then any other additional considerations or adjustments that you want to make, you can make down the road. But as it is, it stands at a 2.4%. So I'll pause there and just toss it out to you guys, see what questions or discussion points you want to hit on.
You just as well not bring something except fine, because I cannot see it.
I agree.
I will not look at another paper like that. So.
Yeah, no, I agree, Commissioner, and I apologize. We have our office print these off. I printed them off myself just based on some circumstances that we were running into yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I even struggle looking at it with my glasses, so I assure you. Assure you moving forward, we'll have larger print.
Okay.
So I appreciate that.
I think, Ryan, the positive thing is that we're only looking at about a 2.4% increase in the cost on our insurance, which is reassuring when I'm hearing other counties are dealing with 10. I know an entity that is going to see a 27% increase. You have people taking that kind of an increase, and it's still cheaper than having to give up their grandfather
status
under the ACA, which then forces them to pay for a lot of things that they don't shouldn't, or things that we just don't agree with that should be covered by health insurance. So
It opens up the feds to make a lot to have a lot more control over your plan. Yeah, it is a really good renewal. I will tell you that we were expecting something a little bit higher than that. But as you know, one of the things that we do when we shop you guys out every year, we're not just shopping it with a couple of markets. We take you out to over 30 different top-rated national reinsurance markets, and that's part of our process of what we do. We've been negotiating this for close to 3.5 months now. And we negotiate the different companies off of each other to get them down as much as we possibly can. So we're pleased with the result this year.
Yeah, 2.4% is what's going on right now in our country. It's not bad at all.
Less than half of the CPI.
Clerk, did you have specific questions for Nova since your office deals most directly with them?
No, I know. If anything were to come up, I would reach out directly to Diane and Ryan.
So, Ryan, what are we looking at time frame wise between when this number is finalized? Obviously, there is a possibility that we could have a claim between now and renewal. And
yep. So here's, and that's a great question. We've seen that in the past, right? So here's what I would say. I have these numbers locked through today. So if we can say, hey, at the very least, you guys could say, hey, we want to, our intent is to move forward with the incumbent. We are going to reserve the right to look at perhaps a couple of different contract tweaks or options here. We can do that anytime in the next month or so, but as long as I can give them a verbal commitment, which is also nice, it doesn't even have to be written today, and just say, hey, their intent is to roll forward with you guys. The numbers are firm. They've agreed that they will not pull any additional data, or even if something pops up after today, you know, that we weren't aware of. The numbers are locked.
Is there any objection with allowing them to proceed and we can begin to build those numbers into the budget?
No. All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Apologies. I stepped in right on the minute there. So appreciate it. And we'll roll forward accordingly.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Turn to 1%, and so there's just a couple of projects that we can go ahead and close out from 1920 Harold Gerard Park, $4,500 from 2021 facilities, $5,900. This was the steam pipes, $7,000 Harold Gerard Park, Lake Smith operating $8,900, and this was a piece of equipment that they ended up not needing, and then there was $6,000 set aside for drug court as a grant match that they didn't need from 2022-23. $1,900 left over from a YMCA allocation. $26 from Friends Feeding Friends, that was, I believe, for shelving. And then $33.73, this was printing for some brochures at the Gatchel. So that would free up $34,432.88 in 1% dollars that previously were allocated, and those projects are now closed out.
I think that's a good plan.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve those revisions?
Make a motion to approve the revisions.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So next slide in your packet will show you what's been collected. That is a projection on the last 2 months, because those are not in yet, but at the current average, you would see you've added $34,321.88 back in. The 1% committee allocated $241,129.66, which makes available for your consideration today of the projects $1,157,375.56. Projects requested are $1,047,899.91, so you will have a balance left over that you can consider during the regular budget process. If you were to accept all the requests, we can work these individually if you'd like. We can have a consent list and pull projects off if you want to talk them individually. It really is your pleasure. You've had your books for 2 months. You've had the opportunity to visit with the department heads about their projects. So what is the pleasure of the commission?
There's a few. There's a couple of them that I think ought to be pulled. I think they're overpriced.
Okay. So, Commissioner Perry, are you proposing that we do a consent list and pull certain projects off? And
I think okay. The consent list is probably the best way to go. I know which projects that I think are over what I think we should spend on. And maybe you'd rather just do a consent on individual projects.
Well, I think let's look at the number of projects that people would like to pull and discuss, and then we can. So we first on there is the airport board for their runway. Would anyone like to pull that for further discussion? Emergency management has $100,000 for the radio project. I'm interested in pulling that. Fair board has three projects. There is heating and cooling in the community building, a pickup, and a snow plow blade.
I question the $80,000 for a new pickup.
Okay, yeah. We will pull that from the consent list for further discussion. Facilities has three projects. They are all pertaining to roofs. I'd like to pull those, not necessarily that I don't agree with those repairs needing to happen. I just think there's a better way to pay for those than 1%. So I've asked that we pull those three from the facilities. Harold Gerard Park, I'm sorry, that's not broken out. Further, you have a water truck and then their crow's nest repairs.
The water truck in particular, they've requested $107,000 for a water truck. Number one, I think it's a lot of money to spend for a water truck. Number two, it's a 4,000-gallon water truck, which would be a CDL-type truck, and they don't have anybody down there that has any CDL training. So I would think that if they were going to spend $107,000 on a water truck, we ought to give it to the Road and Bridge and get an old one from them. But I don't think that they have anything that's needing replaced at this time, and I would like to replace that 107 with a $25,000 truck and move forward with trying to find one for that price.
Okay, so Commissioner Perry, you'd like to pull the water truck would you like to move on the consent list there? Repairs to the crow's nest in the amount of $10,938.
Yeah.
Okay. So we pulled the water truck out of there.
Back to Gerard Park, though. They have got an asphalt rehab that we're going to have to look at sometime. been talking about it for 2 or 3 years now, and we need to fund that someplace.
And so, Commissioner Gray, you'll remember last year in 1% allocations, I believe there was $24,000 that was set aside for that, as well as $10,000 for the water truck. So those two balances are still there. They're actually for this fiscal year, so we can deal with that. But let's continue to work through these. Would anyone like to pull the museum? That's technology upgrade and an exhibit for $13,000. Joco First, $70,000. Library, $25,500 for reading materials. Road Bridge, three projects. The first, South Bypass, $75,000. The trailer mounted message board for $20,000. Or the gravel crushing for $100,000. Okay. Sheriff has requested two vehicles for $149,000. Ballistic vests, $26,600. And I'd like to pull this, and again, not that I don't absolutely agree with it. After discussions with the sheriff and needs, I'm actually going to propose that we add some additional money in there to cover some of our other officers. So I'd ask that we pull ballistic vests off of the consent. There's five tasers, the two radars, and then some handheld radios. Pretty good on those.
What do we propose to do about the ballistic vests?
So the sheriff was going to ask for additional ballistic vests using force reserve dollars. There's some questions about whether that is fully allowable under that. So I'm going to actually ask that when we consider the sheriff's vest, that we fund that at $55,000, so that allows him to replace the vest for everybody in the department.
So we would go ahead and kick this up to $55,000?
Well, Commissioner Barrett, we will once we...
Okay, sorry.
We're trying to get through the consent list. So shooting sports facility, and then also the recycling board. Is there anything else on the list that you'd like to pull from the consent list and consider individually? Is there a motion to approve the consent list?
I make a motion to approve the consent list.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, first item up for debate is a request from the Fair Board for a new pickup. Mr. Perry, you asked that that be pulled. What are your thoughts?
$80,000 for a new pickup sounds like an awful high number. The sheriff seems to be able to replace trucks with radios in them for less than that. So I think that they need to revisit that, and I'd like to see them demonstrate a need for that new vehicle.
So, Commissioner, is it your recommendation at this point to not fund that at all, or are you going to propose an alternative? Shelly, what's your thoughts?
I would agree. You know, if you read in here, they're saying they need it for a snowplow. Why they have three tractors out there that can very well do the same job. I don't believe that they need a $80,000 truck to run around the fairgrounds to pick up trash cans and debris. So I support Commissioner Perry on that.
Was there a motion to fund that? If there isn't, it'll die due to a lack of a motion. Okay. It's not been funded. I had asked for the next three projects. These were from the facilities department. It was $1,800 for the roof repair of the sheriff's building down in KC, $1,750.
Chairman, can I get a little clarification? So we were talking about the $8,000 truck, and then Commissioner Shelley brought up the snow plow. So the snow plow is approved on the consent list. It's just the $8,000 truck that's being.
That's correct.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I do have a question about that. Do they need the snow plow? They don't get the truck.
So I think the hope is that maybe they'll put that blade on one of the tractors then. back to those roof projects. Commissioners, if you'll recall, in our county operating budget in 423, facilities manager has three different lines that he can pay for these three projects that are just over 6,000. The first is 5125, that's the maintenance of buildings. The second is 5263, that's another maintenance line. Or 5860, that's his capital expenditures. So I absolutely believe that the facilities manager needs to move forward with those three projects, but I don't believe that's what 1% was envisioned, and that those three projects should be paid for out of the 423 budget as regular maintenance items.
I agree with that.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Perry, you'd ask that we pull the Harold Gerard Park request for a water truck in the amount of $120,262. Is your thinking to propose an alternative amount or not fund that at all?
I'm saying let's try an alternative amount, and through my mind, I watch that kind of thing fairly often, and I see 2,000-gallon water trucks in the $25,000 to $30,000 range that would be adequate to water that arena. And I would ask the Road and Bridge Superintendent for his thought on water trucks. He seems to deal with them more than any of us.
I would probably agree. Like you said, if you go with that larger truck, then you're going to fall into CDL, which requires a lot more requirements and so forth. That's a lot of truck for fairgrounds.
And training to run it.
Yes.
I'll end up with another truck down there that runs off and add engine because people don't know enough to watch temperature gauge. So
spend an extra $5,000 per guidance to get the CDL training.
Mm-hmm.
There, so it's
well between seven for a Class B and nine for a Class A.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So anyway, let's put the $25,000 back in that budget, along with the $10,000 that's already budgeted, and see what we can do about finding a truck for that's adequate to do the job for this for much less.
So Chris Perry, is that a motion to award $25,000 to Harold Gerard Park for their water truck?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Second that motion.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Last item, and I requested this be pulled. The sheriff had asked for $27,000 to fund half of the department's ballistic vests. I'm going to request that we fund that allocation at 55 to cover everyone in the department and not have to rely on Forest Reserve dollars, or he had pursued a donation of those that didn't come through for the other half, so this allows him to get everyone covered with new vests.
Looks like the sheriff might have
something. Can I say something?
Yes.
So, Commissioner's Day, the number on that, so we have 13 patrol and 16 detention officers. Those vests are, we got an estimate at $2,076 apiece, and that brings that number to, hold on, sorry, I'm not prepared for this. Thank you for considering it. That's for all of detention and all of patrol side, and then we went with just kind of because of the current events that happening in Wyoming, we we upgraded with the ballistic plates this time, and yeah, I don't know. So that was an additional expense, but we felt it necessary to do that. So that's the number on both of those.
So 6204 would have round 61.
61 would work.
In case you get a little fluctuation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would amend my motion to include 61,000 for the ballistic vests for the sheriff.
Second that motion.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, commissioners.
Motion carried. All right. Commissioners, that closes out. 1% will get a retabulation of the dollars that will be available during the regular budget time if there's anything that comes up that potentially could be funded through that. That's typically how we fund the rabies program and a couple of other things. So we'll finish that out at budget time, which brings us into, we need to set a couple of dates, commissioners, for budget. The first is final bill pay, and I am proposing that we do final bill pay on June 25th. That is the last Tuesday of the month. Gives adequate time for all the vendors to get in anything that they have before we close out the fiscal year.
Make a motion to do final bill pay on June 25th.
A second motion.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next are preliminary dates for budget hearings. The clerk will be at a training the 11th through the 14th. Commissioner Perry, I understand you are going to be on vacation the 15th through the 25th. Is that still? We may run into a little bit of a problem, Commissioner, with the last week of budget hearings. I don't know how to get everything scheduled with one or both of you gone for 3 weeks out of the month of.
I thought, Bob, you told me that you had changed those dates and that the week that I'm gone, it overlaps with when you're gone.
It did. 15th and 25th, so then it's stuck in my mind. Remember what day I told you? 7th.
No, but I know it was.
It was the 7th for 10 days. 7th through the, well, let's say the 7th through the 14th.
So, commissioners, what I'm going to propose then is that we hold county budget hearings on June 3rd and 4th, 17th and 18th, 24th and 25th, and the special districts on July 1st and 2nd. These are Monday, Tuesday dates that then will give the clerk's office the rest of the week to make the updates to the budget, and then you'll also remember that we will be down in person in the commissioner's office, so that then gives us also time to prepare any changes that happen to the books.
The 24th and 25th,
go over those one more time.
So June 3rd and 4th. 17th and 18th and 24th and 25th would be budget hearing dates for county entities, and then we would hear from the special districts the 1st and 2nd of July. We have to wait until they are allowed to have their public hearings, so that's why they're in that second tranche of or is there a motion to approve those dates?
I make a motion to approve the budget hearings on the 3rd, 4th, 17th, 18th, and 24th and 25th of June.
Final date we need to set, commissioners, is approval of the final budget, which by state statute must happen by the 15th of July. However, that falls within some NACO meetings that I have, and I won't be back until the 16th. So I am proposing that we adopt the final budget on July 9th. That's a Tuesday.
Second.
budget under line item.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Madam Clerk, is there anything else budget-wise that we need to get mapped out for the next couple of months?
That covers it.
All right. Jody, are you presenting the update to the TANF applications?
Yes. Yes, I am. So TANF stands for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And every year, the commissioners are the contractor with the state for this grant. I have advertised and received three applications from entities who would like to receive funding from the state, and that is the Children's Center. They are asking $16,000 for rent, utilities, and class supplies. The Boys and Girls Club, they're asking for $30,000 to help with salaries, utilities, supplies, and tuition. And Compass for $24,250 in assistance with salaries for a total request of $70,250. The grant allows for 10% administration fee to the contractor, which would be us. So I've added $7,025 to that for a total grant amount of $77,275. This grant has to be submitted no later than April 19th, so I'm asking for your approval.
Motion we approve the TANF grant sum of $77,275.
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, can we back up one? On the budget dates, Bob moved to.
Point of order, we have a motion on the floor. We have to act on
before.
So. All those in favor of approving the TANF grants, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Apologies.
Did I miss a date?
No.
Bob moved, but then we never seconded or voted on the
budget hearing
dates.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. Is there a second to approve the budget hearing dates?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to welcome our Emergency Management Coordinator up to discuss cybersecurity grant renewal amendment.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is just a request. We have a cybersecurity grant that was actually should have been completed by August 31st of last year. I got notification from Homeland Security asking to bill this out and so we could close it, and discovered that it had been overlooked. So they have since reawarded that. We have until August 31st of this year to close it out and pay for it. There's no cost share. It's $14,000. It did not need to be advertised in the budget because it was already included in this current fiscal year's budget. So therefore, the work's already been done. It's just a matter of this formality of getting this approved so that way I can voucher it out and then get reimbursed by the state for the work through Digitex. So that's all I have on that. If there's any discussion or questions about it.
Is there...
I do have it here if you want a copy.
Yeah, because I haven't had a chance to see that. So let's actually give it to the county attorney first.
I've
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yep. Jimmy sent it to me.
Mr. Craig, did you have any concerns with the extension on this and this
no.
amount of $14,000?
No, sir.
Glad to see the Fly America provision still in there, as well as smoke detectors. Commissioners, this is extension of the cybersecurity audit grant in the amount of $14,000. Is there a motion to approve the grant award agreement?
Make a motion to approve the grant agreement. Emergency management.
One second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
While you're here, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to use this as an opportunity to update on the dewatering project down on Billy Creek, and that that area has been reopened to the public?
Yes, as of yesterday, the sign was removed, and there was, at least through the Emergency Management Facebook page, that was in conjunction with discussions with State Engineer's Office and yourself about reopening it, and I believe State Lands also stated that they were good with that. So there was a post pushed out yesterday just notifying that the area is opened to the public again. The future of the dam itself is really uncertain at this point. That's to be worked out between the person who's leasing the property and State Lands, the State Engineering specifically. I know there's a lot of questions about the history of the dam and the construction of it because it's been there so long. But there's two active, we'll say craters, or not active, but there's two craters in the side of the dam, one of which was leaking a significant amount of water. So that was really kind of what pushed the issue into action. We had a large meeting about it and talked about what mitigation efforts have been taking place. There was a control breach opened up through what would be the spillway of the dam, and with the elevation changes in that spillway and some of the substrate in there, they were having a hard time getting that opened up enough. So they ended up actually breaching the dam on the north side. And as of yesterday, it was still actively letting water out that way. And the actual breach itself that had created all the concern is no longer leaching water. So it's now under control. And there's still ample water in the reservoir. So as far as I could tell, the fish population looked like it was fine. So I'm sure probably a little more advantageous fishing at this point. But that's what I have. If there's any questions about that.
I'm just glad it wasn't such a major thing that it just took the whole thing out.
It was definitely concerning when we first got out there, and the State Engineer's Office was very concerned about the timeline. You know, they were worried. They told me 3 weeks to three days to 3 weeks so that dam could fully open up and let all that water out. And it's misleading. The dam's 22 feet tall, so initially we were thinking we had 22 feet deep of water on average. But the way that drainage is before the dam was put in, it ended up being an average of 17 foot deep, which is still a significant amount of water, but it's a lot less than what we were concerned about. But right downstream from that is Highway 87, so we wanted to avoid any damages to the highway. So. All
right. Any questions for the emergency management coordinator?
Thank you.
All right. Madam Clerk, we're going to turn proceedings over to you so you can introduce Resolution 721 to set up the 2024 election districts, precincts, and polling places.
Thank you, Chairman. This is kind of a two-part process here. The first, you'll see how the election districts are lined out. Polling places will remain Catholic Rec Hall, Bottomer Mountain Civic Center, and then Harold Rec Park in D.C. There are no changes to these precincts or districts. So basically, I would ask that the county commissioners accept the district precincts for 2024 as outlined. And then once you approve those, then I'll present the resolution.
I do have one question. With the city's annexation of Deer Park, how does that?
Basically, I believe there were eight individuals that we had to send letters to. That no action had to be taken on our part with that adjustment because it was an annexation by the city. So we're not required to do anything, but as a courtesy, we sent letters to all of those that would be affected just to notify them that they're in a different, they fall into a different precinct.
All right, Resolution 721, 24 election districts and precincts and polling places, whereas pursuant to Wyoming Statute 27-7-101, the Board of County Commissioners, with the advice or recommendation of the County Clerk, no later than the first meeting in May in every general election year, shall divide the county into not more than 30 election districts, whereas on April 16th, 2024, the Board of County Commissioners made a motion to accept the district's precincts for the 24 election as recommended. Now, therefore, be it resolved that following election districts and precincts and polling places are set for the next 2 years in Johnson County. So all districts and precincts for absentee polling, that'll be in the clerk's office. All districts and precincts, absentee counting center, again in the clerk's office. 3-1 Northwest Buffalo Catholic Rec Hall, 3-2 West Central Buffalo Catholic Rec Hall, 3-3 Northeast Buffalo Catholic Rec Hall, 3-8 West Buffalo the Catholic Rec Hall, 4-7 Oliver Catholic Rec Hall, 3-4 Southwest Central Buffalo Bomber Mountain, 3-5 East Buffalo Bomber Mountain, 3-6 Southeast Buffalo Bomber Mountain, 3-7 Southwest Buffalo Bomber Mountain, 4-8 the Bighorns Bomber Mountain, 5-9 Billy Creek at Bomber Mountain, 2-14 Piney Shell Bomber Mountain, 10-15 Tipperary Bomber Mountain, 6-10 which is Casey Harold Gerard Park, 8-11 the Middle Fork Harold Gerard Park, 9-12 Sussex Harold Gerard Park. The countywide absentee polling places at the courthouse in Buffalo will be open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, excluding legal holidays, beginning July 23rd, 2024 through August 19th, 2024. Early absentee voting will begin July 23rd, 2024 through August 19th, 2024 from 8:30 a.m. through 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, excluding legal holidays. You may cast your ballot on a paper ballot and then deposit the voting ballot directly into the DS-200 vote counter located in the county clerk's office. Motion made and seconded and carried in the open meeting on April 16th, 2024 by the Board of County Commissioners. So there is the resolution. May I have a motion so we can open this up for public comment on the precincts?
Move to approve Resolution 721.
Second. Moved and seconded. Resolution 721 setting the 2024 election districts, precincts, and polling places. Is there any discussion or questions on the 2024 election information? Public comment. Public comment? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, what's your pleasure on Resolution 721? We have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Directly behind that tab, and I believe Kristen is gone today. She is asking for approval. This is a $5,000 grant that falls under the COVID grant umbrella, even though it funds nurses' salary and their new health records system called CureMD that is going to be released by the state later this year. Mr. Crago, did you have a chance to review the grant?
So just to be clear, the one I'm looking at is different than that, I believe. The one I have in front of me is sort of an extension of a previous grant.
That's
I have an amendment. That's the one that Kristen sent to me to review.
Okay.
And so we might be dealing with two different ones.
Okay. So I have A1, which is the revised statement of work.
Correct.
Plus her cover letter. Did you review the A1 as well as the contract, Mr. Crago?
I did.
Okay.
Which that's all in accordance. And if you read the cover letter, it talks about the extension, extending the term from 2024 to 2025. And it did not have a dollar change in it that I'm aware of. It was just all the money was not spent on it. Will not get spent this year, so that was just extending that out. And of course, that's all, I mean, that's all grant money related to COVID readiness.
Mr. Crago, do we need to add that to our motion on 721? Or is it a separate item?
That would be separate.
overall grant extension, the original grant is the amount of $112,758. This extends it out. There were no changes to the contract that we previously entered into. It's just allowing the public health to continue that and then do the items that she outlined in her letter, including the $5,000 for the new technology.
So there was, I think there's a few additional deliverables on our end, but I don't think it's anything major. That's the amended statement of work. Part of that is they wanted to change the, I think, some of the things we're doing through public health in relation to that. It's not going to cause us any additional work per se. They just were changing some of the terminology, I guess is the best way to put it.
Commissioners, your thoughts?
I don't see an issue with
it. No, I don't either.
Is there?
I think we can go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
There's a motion to second to approve the grant extension between Public Health and my Department of Health. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Roden Bridge.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I come in front of you this morning to discuss the Main Street North-South Bypass Project. As we all know, the bids were opened last week in Casper at 9 o'clock. Was a little bit surprised when the bids came in. Engineer's estimate on the total project was $13,684,743. The apparent low bidder is Kroll Industries out of Sundance at $17,153,079.57. In our portion of it, our original estimate was at 1,530,921. Changing the bid, now ours comes in at a little more cost of 1,782,358. So as I bring forth with you, with after reviewing the numbers and visiting with YDOT, Mr. Stephen Charles up here, he's a resident engineer. We find that it falls in line to move on with it. So what I bring with you today is a letter that we received, Exhibit B, the State Project ARSCT-P591A03 that shows the estimate project cost of $1,782,358 for the north-south bypass portion of the Main Street project. Johnson County is in concurrence with these costs shown in this exhibit. And I ask for the chairman, Mr. Novotny's signature on that.
So Scott, we're looking at about $251,617 over the original estimate. Is the hope to pay that difference out of county road fund?
Yes, this project is totally funded out of the county road fund, which county road fund sets at about $5.9 million is what is in the county road fund at the current time. And most of these costs reflect is just the, you know, from the time the estimate was done until on our portion. Our portion actually came in pretty good compared to some of the other portions of the project. Part of the problem is some of the timelines and schedules on that project drove that. And if you look at when they bid that, if you look at the two low bidders, they're both right at about $17 million. I mean, there's $130,000 difference between the two, which is good to see that you're relatively close. And then the two high bidders, the high bid on the job was Oftedal Construction at $21,898,254. And then the next low bidder after that was at $21,450,000. So, I mean, the two top bidders were close. The two low bidders were on a project that size. I mean, you don't have that big spread where you have a low bidder and then a really high bidder where it doesn't bring concern. I mean, and like I said, we've reviewed those numbers and looked at them, and the state of where we are at with South Bypass, North Bypass, where we have those areas that are heavily rutted, we need to fix them. We need to move. And the thing is, yes, it might cost us another $251,000, but what's it going to cost us next year or 5 years down the road? So that's why I kind of recommend that we move on with this. So.
Airport found out the same thing. Their bids came in quite a bit higher. The vice chairman of the airport board, do you remember exactly how much more that runway rehab, or not the runway rehab, but the ramp rehab was going to be?
So I apologize. My notes are at home from that meeting yesterday, so I don't
remember either. It doesn't matter. It was way higher than the engineer's estimates.
And across the board in the letting, there was 1, 2, 3 jobs, and that's kind of how they all fell. But you've seen from the engineer's estimate, you've seen a little bit of an increase. So I think that's just the kind of where we're at out there. I mean, the things have slowed down a little bit on cost increases and stuff, but they're still out there.
Critically important project. We save those county road fund dollars to pay for things like this, and so we have the dollars. It just means that the next project you're going to start planning for that with less money to begin with. So,
yes,
we look at Rock Creek Road and also Barnum. It's going to impact our plan going forward on how we pay for those major repairs. But I'm glad that we have the dollars saved to do so that this isn't a hit to the budget. And unfortunately, I think this is going to be what the cost of asphalt is going to be going forward until you build another refinery or find a substitute material or way to get it.
And part of that that drives that is all the increased regulations and stuff that come along with that, but the more hoops that you have to jump through is, or as your environmental and stuff like that, that all drives. They're very, very frustrating with me because, like on our CMAQ right now, we're waiting on a letter from the Corps of Army Engineers. You know, they're regulatory. We have to have that letter, but it's open-ended. When they want to, it might be, who knows, before I get a reply. It would be nice if they had to reply to you within 30 days. I mean, it's just the doing of business is just really changed, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it just seems like lots and lots of more hurdles to get through, especially when you add those federal dollars. So
governmental agency can't get in trouble for doing nothing.
Yeah.
And they get in trouble when they do something.
Yeah, so.
When you get a bid like that, Scott, how long is that bid good for?
Something like that. And is what this one's kind of up against too. I need to get this turned in today because it'll go in front of the Wyoming Highway Commission I think this week. I think the 18th. And they'll go and then it'll be final approved or not. So. And this works very well for us. That's a really, actually, as I talk about the hoops that you got to jump through, that's a very nice way to use our county road funds anytime we could piggyback onto a YDOT project. It simplifies the process a lot more because they're doing so much of that for us. When you use county road fund dollars, you got to meet certain criterias and the length of time you got to advertise for bid and so forth. You've got to meet all those requirements, and by piggybacking on a YDOT project, you're definitely making all those requirements. So when you come back for an audit or something like that, you know you're and besides that, the power of the buck when you join on a bigger project for your smaller project, it helps your project cost too. So that we've really tried to do that. We've done a lot of projects piggybacking onto YDOT for that simple fact that little better bang for our buck, and then also we have the support there to help us get through all the guidelines requirements. So.
We do need a motion to allow the chair to sign the documents for YDOT.
Sign the documents for the YDOT contract.
I will second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Scott, I know you've been busy at Lake Smith getting ready for the summer. Any updates?
You know, we have spent a couple weeks out there. We've had some shoreline issues out there where we had a huge bank there that had sloughed off, and that's part of the problem with filling the boat ramp area. We've been working on that project for about 3 years. It's taken me, I've scavenged rocks from any place I find one in the right of way or I can get a rock. We had to come up with about 4,500 ton of rock, which took me, like I said, it took me about 3 years to get them at no cost to the county. And we got in there this spring and got that benched and got it ripped out, rip wrapped up and so forth, and looking pretty good. Last year with the level of the lake, there was some extra erosion along the Lions Club there, and we've got that all stabilized and so forth. And we've added a few more, I think we've added four more campsites. And then we also, with some of our memorial money, there'll be 45 new trees that'll go in this year. Usually we do about 20, 25. So those will be coming about the 1st of May. And then the other big thing that's going on with a little bit of our memorial money, the Arvada Claremont School had a really nice playground set that we were successfully in picking up for a little bit of nothing compared to what a playground set sets. So that's going to be a really nice addition out there. The estimate I got on the playground that we ended up with was between $80,000 and $90,000 for the playground, and we picked it up for $6,000. So, and it's like new. So that was a big, big win there. So that's something that's kind of coming there as we continue to work on that group area there where we got the volleyball court, horseshoe pits. We'll have this playground, and we'll keep working with our partners out there, Lakeman's Propane, the Lions Club, and so forth. So, yeah, this year's a little bigger, a little more stuff going on this year. So,
Scott, I've got a couple hundred tons of big rocks
that I don't need. Okay, I'm always looking. I'm a scavenger. you look at that, I mean, that's about $140,000 in rock that I saved on that project. So that project, when we did that, that's the dollars that I spent out there is labor and equipment time. So we've been very fortunate that there's some very nice resources out there that we've been able to pick up. And like I said, whenever we're doing pipe work and we end up with pipe, I haul them off. Or there was a couple individuals on Crazy Woman Canyon that had done big home projects and didn't know what to do with their rocks, and they were happy when I hauled them off. So, I mean, that's, yeah. So that makes that a lot less cost out there. So yeah, looking forward to probably a pretty big season out there. So as it continues to grow. So it was amazing. I was out there Sunday afternoon, even with the way the wind was blowing, there was 8 or 9 boat trailers in the main boat ramp. So and there was, I think every dock had 15 kids on them. I couldn't believe they were running and jumping off the end of the dock, but yeah. So.
Well, much appreciated.
Yep, thank you.
Good work.
Yep.
All right, commissioners, that brings us to time vouchers provided by the clerk's office, and I don't see the big stack.
Oh, that's
circulate these. Grand total $241,664.42. We all had an opportunity to review those. Were there any vouchers you wanted to pull for further discussion?
I didn't see any that I was concerned about.
Is there a motion to approve the vouchers in the amount of $241,664.42?
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transact before we take public comment? And then we do have an executive session with the Clerk of District Court.
No, sorry.
Commissioners, I do have one item. I'd like permission for the chair to write letters first to the Wyoming Game and Fish and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service opposing grizzly bears in the Bighorn National Forest. And I would like permission also to draft a letter that can be circulated through the Bighorn Mountain Coalition, which is the four counties that the Bighorn National Forest encompasses, opposing grizzly bears in the Bighorn National Forest.
Motion that we instruct the chairman of the Board of Commissioners to write a letter to the Game and Fish.
And the Fish and Wildlife Service.
And the Fish and Wildlife. I will second that.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All we need is we ought to get high enough baboons to do.
Don't need hands and baboons. We have completed all the items on our regular agenda, so at this point I would open it up for public comment. Mr. Waller.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I was just going to remind you guys next Tuesday at the high school auditorium, we're going to have our open house to discuss the potential sewer extension up to Richardson Park. I'll send an email out to commissioners, county attorney, and the mayor and the council. It's going to be pretty straightforward. Ideally, we're just looking at educating landowners about potentially a sewer line being extended to the edge of the property. So that's kind of what the meeting's going to be focused on for an answer question session to follow after a brief presentation. We want to try to basically kind of understand the support with the citizens up there. So I've had some pretty good citizens reach out and ask questions based on the letters that were sent out last week.
Any further public comment? Public comment? Public comment. All right, I will go ahead and close public comment. And also remind the public that tomorrow, 4:17, the Lake Dismit Advisory Board has their quarterly meeting here at 1 o'clock in the chambers. So with that, I do not see Ms. Rhodes here yet. I'd entertain a motion to enter into executive session. Page, is this personnel? Which section of this? All right, into executive session pertaining to personnel.
Move it.
Move it. Move it. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.